Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It truly is a Blue Monday for America. No doubt you've been talking about this all weekend. We all have been thinking about this lunatic, pothead, moron, left-wing fanatic who loved all of the left-wing literature that you're not reading about. He also liked Hitler's Mein Kampf. That is true. But the man was an occultist. Of course, that didn't make it to your local paper. You're going to start talking about banning handguns. Why not just ban the occult in America? Why don't we hear congressmen talking about banning Wicca in the army, banning the occult in America? I mean, did you see what came out today about the shooter? I'm sure you haven't, because your friends at CNN, NBC, and Fox News haven't shown it to you. The man was a stone-hearted devil worshiper. Take a look at the thing that we just got that posted up on michaelsavage.com. Look at the altar in the shooter's backyard. No one is saying that this is a good thing. It's a horrible thing. But right away, the left-wing press went crazy. Attack puts focus on poison politics. Poison politics indeed. The day Obama took power, poison politics took power in America. Obama has poisoned the body politic with his Marxist-Leninism. That's the poison politics. So we as Americans have a right to speak out against an oppressive government. It doesn't mean that you have to blame us for a lunatic who's a devil worshiper and a pot smoker, by the way. Why don't you talk about his pot smoking? For years I've been warning you about marijuana. Many of you don't even know that the word hashish, is derived from the Arabic. It means assassin. Did you know that assassin is derived from hashish? Or shall I say hashish is a derivative of assassin? Because for centuries, assassins in the Middle East smoked hashish before they went on a cutting or shooting spree. That's something you wouldn't expect from the New York Times, obviously. Now they're covering the story in another way. Something in him snapped. What do you want me to do? Pay for his therapy? Listen to this story now on Fox News. Something in him snapped. You hear this? Acquaintances describe Arizona gunman as a troubled young man. He's not a troubled young man. He was a devil-worshipping left-wing pothead. The man should have been jailed years ago. Disturbing behavior started to flare up in last few years. They mean in the last few years, not last. I guess there's too much China trade. With campus police run-ins, a college suspension, and a rejection from the Army for drug use. Well, you see, blame it on the Army. Had the Army only been more inclusive, had the Army only been willing to take in potheads who were devil worshippers and given him rehab in the Army, maybe this tragedy wouldn't have happened. Now, here's another aspect of this story that's troubling, that I have not yet heard anywhere, because frankly, I turned the news off after it happened. I couldn't stand watching it anymore. I could not take the left-wing slant, seize the guns, kill talk radio. Do you know that this morning my producer had calls from BBC Radio 5 and ITV Television asking Michael Savage to come on the air and talk about the shooting today? I should become the poster boy for this maniac? No, my friends, I didn't go on the air with BBC Radio 5 and the ITV Television. I'm banned from England, so they love to say, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done by standing up to Marxist-Leninism. No, I'm not going to be a poster boy for that. But here's a disturbing element to this story that you have not yet heard. All of last week, I reported on the obvious murder of an American hero whose name you don't even know. His name was Wheeler. He was the chief of cybersecurity for the U.S. Air Force. He developed cybersecurity for many government departments. He was found dead in a trash bin, in a dumpster in Washington, D.C. about 10 days ago. All week long, I tried to point out the imperative that the FBI and Homeland Security get involved with that case. There was not one word from the FBI, not one word from Homeland Security about the murder of a top cybersecurity governmental official. But the minute this devil-worshipping pothead went crazy and killed these people and wounded the others, right away we hear, the FBI will put its full investigative qualities into this case. And here comes Big Sis. She's also going to investigate. Everyone knows who did it. Everyone saw. What they're trying to do is broaden the murder to try to prove that there was a militia involved when obviously he was a lone maniac. While in the other case of the dead cybersecurity expert, there was obviously a conspiracy involving many people, and yet there's no FBI nor Homeland Security investigation. Did you know what happened today? I don't want to take you off track, but I'll tell it to you anyway. This came out just minutes ago. Remember I told you Wheeler was found in a trash bin 10 days ago? Now listen to this one. Just hours ago, minutes ago, charred remains of ex-DC aide found. Ashley Turton, a Washington lobbyist who was a former chief of staff to Rep. Rosa DeLauro D. Connecticut, and the wife of White House congressional liaison Dan Turton, found dead inside burning car not far from the White House. That's two top governmental officials, two, within a 15-day period, no FBI, no Homeland Security, but we're hearing about the lone, devil-worshipping, pot-smoking, left-wing maniac. There's going to be a full governmental investigation. My friends, we're in deep trouble. Of course, there is a focus on poison politics in America. As I said to you, poison politics didn't begin with conservative radio. Conservative radio was a reaction to the poison politics of the left wing in this country. The virtual monopoly of poison politics of ABC, CBS, you name it, and NBC. And the minute there's a maniac, pot-smoking left-winger who goes on a rampage, they try to blame it on us. You want to talk about poison politics? Then why don't you start with the church that Obama went to and the poison politics of Reverend Wright? Why don't you start with the poison rhetoric of Obama's personal friends, which we tried to warn you about? Why don't we talk about the poisonous words that have come out of the president's mouth ever since he seized power? If you go to a knife fight, bring a gun. Did you hear any of those? How about those poisonous words of the president? You want to look at the track record? Yeah, there's a lot of poison in politics right now. But don't blame politics for what this lunatic did. Please leave politics out of it. The man is insane. You may as well just ban devil worship, and you may as well ban marijuana as banning talk radio. Also on the Savage Nation tonight, in about 20 minutes, we have a big guest, a very big guest, named Donald Trump. And let me tell you why I invited Donald Trump on the show. I'm not a big guest-driven show, okay? Let's clear the air. But I met Donald Trump, and I talked with him, and he said to me, Michael, I love your book, Trickle Up Poverty. You got it exactly right when you call for tariffs on China. They're going to kill us unless we put tariffs and tax their profits. And I said, you know, Mr. Trump, I concluded Trickle Up Poverty with a statement that said, run America like a business, not an empire. We need a tough-minded businessman like you to save this country. We don't need another double-talking politician. Will you come on the Savage Nation? Yes, I will. Yes, he'll be here, right here, 20 minutes, Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
We're talking about the tragedy of the shooting. And we're talking about the tragedy of the loss of a fair-minded media in America. Here, ABC interviews a friend of the shooter and ignores her claim he's a liberal. A friend of the gunman accused of Saturday's tragic shooting spree involving Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was interviewed on Sundays This Week, and for some reason her claims posted on Twitter Saturday that Jared Lee Loeffner was a liberal went completely ignored. Here's another story in the Savage Nation. Jane Fonda, remember her? Jane Fonda blames Giffords' shooting on Sarah Palin and the Tea Party. You know, well, I'll let that one go. Jane Fonda, as far as I'm concerned, is a traitor who should have been tried for treason. Former U.S. Rep. Steve Kagan says Arizona shootings will change the government. Shall we go down the list? Here's another story that just came out that you're not going to believe. It's going to take me a lot of time to develop. I can't do it now, but I'm going to hint at it. It came out of WorldNet Daily minutes ago from Aaron Klein. You ready to hear about what school the shooter went to? Do you know anything about that? The high school that this pothead devil worshiper murderer went to was part of a learning community funded jointly by Obama and the domestic terrorist Bill Ayers. Jared Lee Loftner, the suspected gunman in Saturday's Arizona shooting, attended a high school that is part of a network in which teachers are trained and provided resources by a liberal group founded by weatherman terrorist Bill Ayers and funded by President Obama, WorldNet Daily has learned. The group is called Small Schools Workshop. It has been led by a former top communist activist who was an associate of Ayers. Obama provided the group with funds in the 1990s when he worked at an education reform group alongside Ayers. Shall I read on? I will read on. Later on, I will read on. So there we see the connection of the politics of hate. The Small Schools Workshop, okay? It's a communist front group. That's the kind of high school the lunatic went to. And this kind of school says that they want to provide support for teachers who want to create smaller learning environments. Bill Ayers reportedly recruited a radical activist, Mike Klonsky, to head the workshop. Klonsky still serves as director. We'll tell you much more about the Bill Ayers-Obama school connection to the shooter, something you won't be reading tomorrow in your local newspaper. And if you're going to start pointing the finger, just remember the other side has a finger to point as well. And when you start talking about the politics of hate, be very careful, because you were here first. You had the politics of hate disseminating in this country going back at least to Walter Cronkite. So don't say that the right-wing conservative radio, blogs, and the internet are responsible for this lunatic. Also, I want to ask you this question. As you well know, I think this country will die unless we get a leader. As you well know, I do not see one politician who can save this country. I've said over and over again, if the Republicans run Sarah Palin, you may as well kiss the Republican Party in America goodbye, because Obama will be a second-term president. She cannot win. She may be a fine woman, good idea, she is unelectable, and I told you why. Romney, unelectable because of Romney care and other reasons, too liberal. Shall I name a few others? Huckabee, say guitar player. There are no candidates that I can see who can beat the Democrats. There's only one who I think has a chance to beat the Democrats, and a good one at that. He is a tough, hard businessman, Donald Trump. He'll be with us at 6:34 East Coast, 3:34 on the West Coast, and everywhere else in between. Question for the audience of the savage nation that in fact controls the independent vote in the United States of America. That's right. You heard me right. The savage nation probably has more influence over the independent vote in this country than any other single radio or television show. Why do I say it? Well, you can figure it out for yourself. What would you ask Donald Trump if you had a chance? He's going to be on the show. You won't get a chance because we're going to be flooded. What should I ask him? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers quickly. Anthony in Chicago, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I don't want to take away from the tragedy that occurred, but all weekend long, if you could take snippets from the media, it was white supremacist, Tea Party, Republican, talk radio, white supremacist, over and over
again. Now, let's compare that to when the Fort Hood massacre occurred, when the Muslim Major Hassan went on a rampage, killing 11 or 12 and wounding 30. Do you remember what the liberal media said? They said, hush, hush, my darling, don't rush to judgment. Hush, hush, my darling, don't mention his race or ethnicity. Hush, hush, don't mention the fact that he was a Muslim. Hush, hush, let's not rush to judgment. Do you remember that one, Anthony?
Yes, I do remember, and I remember it took 8 hours into the day before they even admitted that he was a Muslim. In fact, I think
Now, why do you think that would be, that the very same loudmouth loser leftists like the Time magazine's Joe Klein or the others on CNN such as Wolfie Blitzer Boy come out immediately blazing with both water guns, firing and squirting their water guns at the people who have basically put them out of business? While when Major Hassan went on a shooting spree, they told us to shut up, dummy up, shut your mouth, don't say Muslim, don't say Islam, don't rush to judgment. Well, I don't have to answer that question. It's because of the poison politics of the radical verminous left in this country. 1-800-449-8255, Georgia, New York City on WOR. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head The Fort Hood thing also came to my mind as I was listening to that. And these people were in their glory of having a weapon to go and make that was.
How many years have I told you if there's a murder or such committed by a white male, preferably with blonde hair and blue eyes, the vermin on the left immediately identify his name, race, and ethnicity. Immediately. While if there is a let us say, murder, some kind of horrendous occurrence such as this that is committed by someone other than a white male, rarely, if ever, do we get even a hint or a peek at the individual responsible for it. And that is because of the poison politics of the vermin on the left. You know that, and I know that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to the next caller. Adam in Pittsburgh. Go ahead. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. A quick comment. I think that if Donald Trump ran with Lieutenant Colonel West, I think it'd be an unbeatable ticket.
Wow, that's some combo. I didn't even think already about that that potential because I don't know if Donald Trump wants to run. I want him to run because, as I said, in trickle-up poverty, this is not, let's just say, me stepping out all of a sudden out of left field and coming up with something weird. My book ends with, run the country like a business, not an empire. And when Donald Trump came over to our table yesterday, I was at a certain place, and he started to talk about his politics and his policies, he went on and on about how we have to fight China or we're finished. And he talked about, I said, do you believe in tariffs, yes or no? Because that's how my book, Trickle Up Poverty, ended. He said, absolutely, great book, 100% right. He's the only politician, well, he isn't even a politician, he's the only businessman I ever spoke with of that caliber who said, yes, tariffs would save the country. None of the others will say that. They're all tied into the whole Wall Street Journal that tariffs will set off a trade war, don't do it, don't revalue their currency, blah, blah, blah. And so they say, well, what about the yuan? I said, don't call their currency the yuan. It sounds too suave. Call it the yuan so it sounds like Hunan. 1-800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. The minute I come back, we're going to talk about the politics of the presidency with Donald Trump. Get online because I don't think you're going to get on the show. This is a shocker, believe me.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's 34 minutes after the hour. Joining us right now is Donald Trump. Run the country like a business, not an empire. There's only one man I know who can do it, and that is Donald Trump. Donald, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us.
How are you, Michael? You're a piece of work, that I can tell you.
Well, now we don't know what you really mean when you say that. But look, when you and I spoke yesterday, I asked you straight up. I didn't mince words. I said to you, where do you stand on tariffs with regard to Chinese goods? And you didn't blink. You didn't mince words. Tell the audience what you think should be done.
Well, look, nobody is hurting outside of OPEC this country more than China. What China is doing to this country is absolutely a sin, and it shouldn't be allowed, and somebody has to speak to them. Somebody called me last week. The head of China is coming next week to see the president. And they said, what message would you have that the president should give? I said, the president should cancel the meeting and immediately cancel the meeting until such time as they stop manipulating their currency, et cetera, because when they manipulate their currency, our companies cannot compete with theirs. They
cannot
just can't.
Compete.
Beyond labor, beyond other things, they can't compete. And I will tell you, as a big buyer of products, a huge buyer of products, glass and lots of other things, the Chinese are very, I mean, I say, do we make anything in this country anymore? It's being made in China and other countries, but China is the big culprit. And the advantage they have is a manipulation through a manipulation of their currency. So what I say to you, very simply, is that I would absolutely tax all products coming in from China. Then you'll say to me, oh, but don't they loan us a lot of money by buying our bonds? And I would respond by saying, if you tax their products, those bonds will be paid off very, very rapidly.
What tax? What percent?
I would say 25%, and I would say a firm, strong 25%. And then, you know what? When they start behaving properly, you know, we're building cities in China. We're building China. We're rebuilding the whole place because what they're doing is they're taking all of our jobs. And it's very interesting. I don't know if you heard Ben Bernanke the other day.
Right.
But he said very strongly, job market won't be back for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I heard that. That's terrible. Well, you and I had one point that we disagreed on where you said you cannot buy anything made in America anymore. And I said, Mr. Trump, you're wrong about that. You can buy a congressman.
Well, That's very true. I guess
it's sadly true. So in addition to saying you're fired, you now want to say you're elected, huh?
Michael, I don't believe 5 or 6 years, because why are jobs coming back to this country if everything's being made in China, Mexico, lots of other places? You know what happened in Iowa? Iowa is, it's very sad, Newton, Iowa, Maytag, because of our brilliant system, Maytag moved their manufacturing and virtually everything out of Iowa, Newton, and into Mexico.
Yeah.
All the jobs.
Well, that's because of NAFTA and the WTO. Now, we on the conservative side in the media were opposed to that in the 90s. We opposed NAFTA. We opposed WTO. We were called crazy at the time. Would you repeal any of these international agreements if you were president, Mr. Trump?
Well, NAFTA has been a total disaster. It's just been unbelievable how horrible it's been. You go up and look at New England, all you see is empty factories that are just decaying buildings.
Yes.
And those people moved out, and they moved over to Mexico and other places. And you take a look at what's happened. The truth is the United States is a whipping post for the rest of the world, and the reason is because our people aren't smart enough or tough enough to do something about it.
One of my callers, Rich in Pittsburgh, is calling and he's saying, in China they tariff our products. Is that true?
Totally true. I can tell you about a steel company, which I'm to mention, but I can tell you about a steel company, and I'm talking about a big one, where they're not allowed to go into China and sell steel. Look at General Electric recently, where General Electric was forced to give up all their technology and all their secrets in order to do business in China. I mean, it's terrible what's going on, and we do nothing. Look at South Korea. There's another one. There's another beauty.
Right.
I just can't even believe. So
yes.
Look at South Korea. They have a trade agreement that's so bad and so one-sided for them and against us. Then the president goes there recently, and they refuse to sign it because they want more. Then all of a sudden, a couple of shells get lobbed onto one of their island by North Korea,
right.
And all of a sudden they come back and they say, no, no, we will sign the agreement because they are my great allies, they are our great allies.
Yeah, right.
Sure, as we have the SS, as we have the George Washington aircraft carrier, one of the great boats of the world,
right.
And many destroyers sailing right toward North Korea. And I said to myself, they make hundreds of billions of dollars, let's use the word profit because it's easy to understand,
yes.
For the United States with their
right.
televisions, their cars, everything
right.
else. The agreement is horrendous. We're protecting them. Why aren't we being paid for that? This nation is so rich, much richer than us, actually.
Mm.
But why aren't they paying when we sail those incredible ships over to North
right.
Korea, which, by the way, cost millions of dollars an hour?
You know, what you're saying is, why doesn't South Korea pay for the price of sailing the ships and the men going there to protect them? Is that what you're saying?
Why doesn't South Korea pay us something? Which means, why don't we ask South Korea for something? I mean, for something. Instead, what do? They go out and they give us a trade agreement that only an idiot from our standpoint would sign. So it's a very, very sad situation.
But if you were the chief executive of the United States of America, would you do some of the more controversial things that I've called for, such as, let's go to Iraq. Many men lost their lives, lost limbs, lost eyes. We lost our national honor in many ways. For what? They're sitting on a sea of oil. They've never given us a free barrel of oil. George Bush said that they would pay us back through oil. We never got one free barrel. Don't you think, for example, Iraq owes us a few hundred million barrels of oil in exchange for how many billions we spent there?
Iraq has $15 trillion of oil sitting under its land. People don't realize, after Saudi Arabia, they're the second nation for oil.
Right.
Now, we've spent $1.5 trillion, okay?
Yes.
They should pay us back. They should pay us back. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the greatest example, only because, you know, it's not like Iraq is, I don't know, a lot of people would say, did we really do them a favor? If you go over there, it's a total mess. Which, by the way, Iran will take over as soon as we leave. What we've done in Iraq is unbelievable. You know,
yes.
They've been fighting for hundreds of years, back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were equals. Now we've denuded
yes.
Iraq, so that as soon as we leave, Iran will go in and take over that oil, which is very interesting.
Well, when that war broke out, I said that this could be the greatest blunder, military blunder in American history. I hope Bush is right and not wrong, because if he's wrong, All that's going to happen is the Shia-dominated Iran is going to dominate Iraq, which was run by the Sunnis under Saddam, who was a balancing power to the Shia power within his own country in Iran. It was a complete mess. But let's look at Afghanistan. If you were president, would you pull the boys out of Afghanistan?
I'd get out as soon as I could. Now, you have to understand, Michael, I'm a very, very hawkish person. I believe in really strong military, stronger than what we have right now.
Right.
I believe in all of that.
So do I.
What we are over there is policemen. What
yes.
we are over there is policemen. You know, we didn't lose a war. If we pulled out, we didn't lose. We won the war, but we're policemen over there. We're not
yes.
meant to be policemen.
You know, in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, Mr. Trump, I ended by saying, run America like a business, not an empire. And I went on the air tonight and I said, I finally have found a businessman who I think could run this country not only like a business, but as a business, because it is a business. Every nation fundamentally is a business, but you can't run a business at a loss. Let us say forever, can you?
Well, I'd also say a business with compassion, because there are certain times where government really can help people, and that's a great thing. But, you know, when I look at, for instance, you mentioned Afghanistan. Think of this. $52 million was given to somebody in a suitcase
yes. Yes.
to go to Afghanistan, right?
Right.
It ended up, and we just found this out, it ended up in Dubai. Now, Dubai,
in Dubai. Yeah.
is not doing well.
Right.
It ended up in Dubai. Now, you say to yourself, we give $52 million in cash. I mean, who ever heard of $52 million in cash? Numerous cash businesses. But my cash businesses, I watch closely. I have people. I have accountants watching the people. Then I
yes.
have people watching those people.
Yeah.
I want to know, who is the colonel or the general or whoever it is that gives $52 million in green to
yeah.
Afghanistan? And then it ends up somewhere in Dubai, which is another part of the world. And I say, who are the people that give this money? Is it a colonel? Is it a corporal that carries it out? Is it a private, like the WikiLeaks private?
Yeah.
And then I say, of the money that was given, 52 is an odd number, how much was stolen before the 52 got there? And who stole it, including our own couriers? So when I look at that, $52 million in cash, if you think about what that is,
right.
you say, who authorizes something like that?
I don't know. I didn't.
No, but can you imagine?
No, I know what you're saying. Where'd the money come from? Who'd it go to? Look, you only have a minute left in this segment. There's a lot more we have to cover over the months to come. I don't even know if you're running. Are you really ready to run for the presidency, Mr. Trump?
Well, I'm a proud American. I love this country. I've never seen anything like what's happening now. I've never seen OPEC go so crazy as they are right now. Oil is now $90 a barrel. It should be $30. I've always been told by a certain very smart friend of mine who's truly an expert on oil that whenever we have oil above $30 and $40, this country has to lose money. And I believe that it was OPEC, and I believe it was oil prices, that really caused the almost demise of our economic nation. It was a horrible thing. We got up to $150 a barrel. And at some
well, it's a commodity that, in essence, is acting as a currency. That's what it comes down to. If we have inflation, the barrel of oil becomes the equivalent of the deflated dollar in reality to the Arab. In other words, he goes to New York and he wants to buy an apartment at Trump Plaza that was $10 million, and suddenly it's $15 million. So he wants more money for his oil. Yes or no?
It's the problem that we have with the devalued dollar and the devaluing on a daily basis is you're going to be paying $25 for a loaf of bread. You're going to be paying $10 for a Coca-Cola. I mean, the devalued dollar, which is no longer a respected currency, as you know,
yep.
is just absolutely hurting this country, and it's going to hurt. Number one, level of respect. Number two, wait till you see what's... And you see it now. You see the price of copper. You see the price of gold. You see the price of all of these commodities, including oil, going through the roof, and it's a very, very serious situation for this country.
When will we know if Donald Trump wants to really run for the presidency?
Well, I would say I'll make a decision sometime by June. You know, we have Celebrity Apprentice going on very soon. I'm not allowed to run during that time because otherwise everyone else has to get 2 hours on primetime television. Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
It terminates, the season 11 term comes to an end during the month of June, and I will make a decision sometime then. But it's a very sad thing. What's happening to this country is very sad, and I've never seen it where this country is such a whipping post and just doesn't have the respect of other nations.
run the country like a business, not an empire. We need a really successful, tough-minded man like Donald Trump, in my opinion. I would definitely back you if you ran, and I haven't backed anyone because I see nobody who can beat Obama out there on the Republican side. That's a terrible, terrible thing to say when you consider Obama is such a terrible president that the Republicans are going to do it all over again, Mr. Trump. And that's what I say. We really need you out there.
Michael, healthcare is destroying many, many companies. I know for a fact. I have friends that are literally closing up their companies. They're not going to be able to afford healthcare. And just one other little thing. You know, we signed recently a treaty with Russia.
Yep.
How would you like Russia dictating when and where we can build missiles? I mean, do you think this is great now that Russia's telling us what we can build, when we can build it? It's sort of an amazing...
I covered this with a chapter on what's in the START treaty. I tried to warn America why the president and those nine Republican turncoats agreed on the START treaty without any discussion really concerns me, because we have now become an...
That's a real beauty, and part of the beauty is they don't want us to have a defense system. So you're not allowed to defend yourself, you can't build missiles, you can't... Russia's telling us what to do, and they rush out to approve it. It's unbelievable.
Well, we have a lot more to cover, and I know that this is not the last time Donald Trump will be on the Savage Nation, at least I hope not, and we're giving you an open door to the most important independent nation in the country, which is the Savage Nation. I sincerely mean it. This is not for ratings, Mr. Trump. This is to save the country that I love ever since I've been a Boy Scout in Queens, New York, and I hope you're the guy who's going to do it, and you're the guy who's going to save this country.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. You have a great show. And I really do. I can't say 100%, but I agree with so much of what you say.
If you agreed with me 100%, I'd really worry about you.
Well, thank you, Michael, and we'll be on again.
Thank you. Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. The time is 48 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So years ago, I came up with the phrase compassionate conservatism, and it launched President Bush all the way to the White House. He used it, ran with it, didn't give me credit. But I got to tell you something. When I said tonight to Donald Trump, run the country like a business, not an empire, did you notice how quickly he added something? He said, yes, but with compassion, because sometimes the government needs to step in to help the weak and the poor. And he's absolutely right. I mean, we've talked about that. But it reminds me of a phrase that I had read prior to deriving compassionate conservatism, and that was a book by the head of Amway Corporation that he wrote, I don't know, 20 years ago, and it was called Compassionate Capitalism, interestingly enough. And as far as I am concerned, capitalism is the most compassionate of all economic systems on earth. There is, make no mistake about it, Marxism is a death knell for any society. Socialism kills jobs, kills people, kills healthcare, you name it, takes the heart and soul out of a nation. It is only capitalism, when it's run rightly, that can deliver compassion. And that's why I think that that's not a bad phrase for him to run with, which is, you know, compassionate capitalism. It's not my phrase, but I think that Donald Trump should think about it if he really wants to run. And now I want to ask you another question about this particular issue, because I think this is going to become bigger and bigger. I am a little worried about the list of people on the Republican side. Sarah Palin, populist, wonderful person, great policies, unelectable for reasons I have told you. Mitt Romney, I really like the man. I even said that to Donald Trump yesterday when we were all having lunch. I said, I think Mitt Romney is a fine man. I love his family story. He was a wonderful businessman. However, his health care reforms that he introduced in Massachusetts will count against him because it's a mimic for what Obamacare was. In fact, Obamacare modeled itself on Romney care. Then they brought up the Mormon thing. I happen to like Mormons. I've always gotten along with Mormons. I think they're wonderful people. But there is a strong group of people in this country who use religion against them, which I think is a foul ball. Now you say Mike Huckabee. No, can't win. How about Newt Gingrich? Are you kidding me? Why doesn't he just go away? Mike Pence, social conservative congressman, unelectable. Tim Pawlenty, Minnesota, unelectable. Haley Barbour, wonderful man, unelectable. John Thune of South Dakota, unelectable. How about former Florida Governor Jeb Bush? unelectable. Why? How many bushes can you have in a forest of trees? So I think that if Donald Trump does decide to run, really puts his business head behind this, yeah, a lot of stuff's going to come out. People are going to say he did this, he did that, he's a tough guy, this, the bank loans. I know it's going to come up. I mean, I've looked at the history. You know something? Any public figure who's achieved anything, if you look up their background on Wikipedia or whatever, there's a lot of sour grapes out there, and your enemies, your people who are jealous of you. Take a look at my entries. Did I talk about the elephant herd I saved? No. All I do is bring up the negatives. But let's put me aside for a minute. I would recommend to Donald Trump the following thing, and I hope that he hears this. I hope someone who's listening sends this transcript to Donald Trump. And I would say this. If you decide to announce your candidacy and you run, and all of a sudden the haters come out of the woodwork, he did this, Trump did that, Trump is this, Trump does that, he's not this, he's not that, you got to come out and you got to go into this positively, not negatively. Don't apologize for any of these things. What you got to say is, yes, I'm a tough businessman. Yes, I'm a hard-nosed businessman. Yes, I fought some of the toughest people and some of the toughest corporations and toughest banks on the planet, and I won. But let me tell you something else. Who would you rather have representing America? Some weak, limp-wristed liberal or some weak, double-talking, check-pants conservative Republican who's a faker, who's going to cave into these tough business people in China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and you know where? You need Donald Trump is what I say. I say take the positive. Go after it and tell him that you can do it. And one other thing, Mr. Trump, here's what I recommend. Just remember this. America loves a winner. They don't really care how you got there or how you get there at the end of the day. America loves a winner. And you, my friend, are the epitome of an American capitalist who wins. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, you know, I got to tell you something. I'm going to say it right up front. A few personal notes, then back to the news of the day, things of that nature. I will tell you that Donald Trump being on my show tonight indicates that Michael Savage is no longer in the gulag. I was put in the gulag when the United Kingdom put me on a list of murderers and terrorists, and I really have been fighting that for 2 years straight. Virtually nobody in America has helped me with it. I mean, there have been a few people here and there, and thousands of you sent money to my legal fund, and I wish to God I could thank each of you individually. But I'm going to tell you right now, things are changing in my life. With the success of trickle-up poverty and what you just heard tonight on this show, I hope you caught the interview. We will rerun it again this week. Things have changed. I went to lunch yesterday. Chris Ruddy of Newsmax, God bless him. And it was a phenomenal table. I don't get out here very often. I'm not a social guy. As you well know, you hear about me. I basically live a very, very lonely life, loner life. I have a wonderful family, but I keep to myself. I came out here, and Chris said, Dick Morris is going to be there. Dick Scaife is going to be there. I hope I'm not giving up anything important here of... very, very important man. And all of these are very conservative individuals, by the way, whether you know it or not. there were a couple other people there. Maybe I shouldn't mention their names because it would be violating, blah, blah, blah. So we're all talking, and it was very conservative. There was a young lady whose family had been in the newspaper business since 1815 in the South. Incredible. These are very hard conservative people. We had a nice time, and we're about halfway through the lunch, and Donald Trump shows up in golf clothing, and he starts holding court. He's standing on the steps above our table. I mean, like an emperor standing and giving, you know, like, there's the king. Well, his place, it's Mar-a-Lago, is his place. And he starts talking and telling us this, and he's great. I mean, he's a New Yorker, like I'm a New Yorker, in the sense that he doesn't stop talking. He tells you like it is. And if you try to get a word in edgewise, it better be a pretty smart word, or it's not even going to get in edgewise. So he's talking this and that. So I said to him, I said, Mr. Trump, I said, did you read Trickle Up Poverty right away? Yeah, great book. You're right. You're exactly right. So I said, what do you think about tariffs on Chinese goods? 100% right, he says to me. And to me, that became a litmus test of where I stood with regard to him as a businessman candidate. Because the Wall Street Journal, as you know, and so does the entire Republican establishment, oppose tariffs of any kind. They keep saying that it would establish a trade war, it would wind up costing us more than nonsense. Totally wrong. Trump agrees with me on that. So we're talking, and he says, you can't even find a product, a major product made in America anymore. Nothing is made here. Everything's made in China. So I said, Mr. Trump, I disagree with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, yes, there are products that are made only in America that you can buy in this country. You can buy them very cheaply indeed. He said, well, what's that? I said, a U.S. congressman. Well, the whole table broke out into laughter at that one because it's unfortunately and sadly true. But you heard him tonight. Now, I want to go into a few points for a minute or two. I know we could talk about Giffords, the shooter of Congresswoman Giffords. We can tell you all over again he's a devil worshiper. We can direct you to michaelsavage.com where you could see the man, the altar of the shooter himself in his backyard. He was a pot smoker by all definitions, and I don't mean a casual one. I mean a very heavy dope smoker, and I've warned you that marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs. Incidentally, Donald Trump doesn't drink alcohol or use any kind of medication or drugs, and he's very adamant about it. No drinking, no drugs, no tattoos with young people. So this is the kind of guy, I mean, I really like him, and the fact is I got along with him. Forget the money, forget that he's a rich guy. I've met a lot of rich guys. I don't get along with people just because they're rich. So look what I have in my book, Trickle Up Poverty. Okay, let's look at this. Where do I say anything about business? One, close the English only. Two, close the borders, defend the borders, repeal Obamacare, reduce the size and scope of government. I don't think anybody would argue with that. Oil for illegal aliens from Mexico. Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. Save the Navy SEALs. I go down the list, right? And then I get down to number 18 of my 37-point plan. Impose tariffs on China. And what do I call for? I'll read you one line. I wrote, we must draw a line in the sand with regard to China in order to loosen their stranglehold on our economy by imposing a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China. That tariff should be raised by 5% each year that China refuses to revalue its currency. What's intriguing to me, Michael Savage, is this. I'm not a billionaire. Donald Trump is a famous billionaire. I didn't tell him what to say. God knows anybody tell him what to say, get their head cut off. I said, what should the percentage be? He said 20%. So where do we both come up with 20%? Because it's reasonable. It could save the country. Institute a flat tax, I say. Keep the estate tax at zero. Say no to the VAT tax. Reduce pay and pension for civil servants. I go down the list. It's all in Trickle Up Poverty, which, you know, many of you understand is a great book and a very important one. 1-800-449-8255. I want to take your calls right now on what you heard on this show tonight. Let's begin on WOR in New York. Jimmy, go ahead. What's on your mind?
I love the interview you just did with Donald Trump. I think it's, to me, it was the most important and most interesting interview you ever did. I would definitely support Donald Trump for president.
Well, this is interesting, Jimmy. Of all people who I would have expected to call the show, like regular listeners, you're like obsessed as an anti-communist, as I am, and I know why, because we have a communist in the White House. But why is it that you are enamored of Donald Trump? I mean, I don't think you're in love with, let us say, capitalism or capitalists per se, are you?
Well, he seems to understand on some level the threat posed by China and Russia. I don't know if he understands the communist movement or anything, but he understands the China-Russia threat, and he also understands these dangerous treaties and agreements we've signed, like NAFTA, which is destroying us. So,
yeah, you know, I brought up NAFTA and the WTO, and you haven't heard those words in 5 to 10 years in talk radio. They're not mentioned anymore. Remember how big they were in the 90s? We were against NAFTA. We were against the WTO. Well, it turns out we were 100% right. But he's the only one who said they're terrible, they're a disaster, they destroyed America, we got to get rid of them, right?
Yeah, and very few conservatives, the talk show guys, were against NAFTA and GATT at the time, the way I remember it, unless I'm wrong.
Well, where did I stand in 95, 96, do you remember?
Oh, you were against it, as most of the people were. Most
yes.
of the American people were.
All right, so I have very good instincts with regard to business and with regard to survival as an individual and as a nation. What I found extremely interesting in the interview tonight was when he spontaneously brought up Russia dictating our national defense. I thought that was very bold and very brave, frankly.
That's what grabbed me. That's what really made my ears perk up. And listen, I think the worst possible guy the Republicans could put out there is Newt Gingrich. I think he's the absolute worst. And anybody supporting or promoting Newt Gingrich, I wouldn't trust their judgment at all.
No, neither would I. And I, unfortunately, when I wrote the book, The Political Zoo, about 5 years ago, I called him the GOPAC tick. I do not think he will be on this show in the near future.
I don't think so either.
Well, Jimmy, I'm really impressed that you, as such a vehemently political animal and an anti-communist, as I said earlier, would be so attracted to Donald Trump. I really didn't expect it. I thought you would have said, he's just a greedy capitalist. Why should I vote for him? That's what I expected a guy like you would think.
Well, I have nothing against capitalism, and there are greedy ones, but that could all be worked out. You know, there's ways of, taking off the rough edges of capitalism.
Yes.
But he understands Russia and China as a threat, and that's the thing that really interested me, because most conservatives I hear on radio or TV, they say that, you know, they call it the free market and stuff. Meanwhile, it's nothing about the free market when the Soviets and Red China are doing to us.
Yes.
So
he's also very, very interestingly, very gung-ho military. He spoke with love about our U.S. aircraft carrier the way I do. I've been on the Stennis. I have the greatest admiration in the world for people in the Navy, particularly the naval pilots. They're amazing young men. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I know what it takes to pilot a ship, let alone fly an whatever they're flying. I forget already what they're flying today. But we're falling behind even in the military. Just last week, the Chinese introduced a stealth jet that can run rings around our airplanes. How did that happen?
Well, where
did the Chinese get the technology to build a stealth aircraft? Do you think that they got it out of their own creativity? Or do you think that we have business people in this country who sold them the technology, whether it be the chips that they use in the computers, or certain, components or composites, rather, that are used for stealth technology? Where'd they get it from? They stole it from us through industrial espionage. And I would, Rick, that is considered illegal in America. I apologize in advance for being a patriot, Jimmy.
Well, you're 100% right on that. There's traitors. Red China has their agents here, and they're not all Chinese. There's a lot of people in this country who work against America. They work to destroy this country. But wasn't there a plane shot down, a stealth plane, in Czechoslovakia when we went there?
No, you mean one of ours?
Yeah.
You don't mean in Czechoslovakia. You mean in Serbia?
Yeah. You're right. During that time. Wasn't one of them shot down?
No, you're raising the point. I truly don't recall. I do know that we did lose one, and I believe it was in the war against the Serbs. And I do not know the details of what shot down the stealth. But the fact is that the Chinese just developed one that can run rings around our own fighters, according to our Top Gun pilots. And, Jimmy, that's frightening. One thing I always counted on in this country was our military prowess. Under Obama, who is gutting the military, putting in policies that are destroying the very fiber of the social entity called the military, cutting back on weapons systems, etc., we are becoming a second-rate military power right in front of our eyes. And it's all happening within 2 years of this man and his seizing the power of the country. The time is 17 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
know, I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't looking forward to going on the air today after the shootings on the weekend. You're listening to the Savage Nation, incidentally. This is not a figment of your imagination, nor is it a transmission from Mars coming in on your filling. It's the Savage Nation, the third largest radio talk show in the United States of America, probably the most influential amongst independents, because I am not a Republican. I'm certainly not a Democrat. But the fact of the matter is, after this horrendous situation of the murders over the weekend, I did not really look forward to today's show because it's all negative. I knew we were going to get the haters on CNN, ABC, CBS, etc., blah, 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 blaming the right wing, blaming conservatives. I knew they wouldn't talk about the kids' devil worship and the altar in his backyard. We have the picture up on michaelsavage.com. Go look at it. Look at it yourself. There's a picture of the devil's altar in this murderer's backyard. He was an inveterate pot smoker. He was known as a left winger. I knew you wouldn't hear any of it, but I didn't want to go on the assault or on the defense today, and it's a very negative topic. How can you talk about murders in any positive manner? There's nothing you could say that's good. So when I went to lunch yesterday, and I was with those wonderful people that I mentioned, and Donald Trump came over, I didn't know that I would get along with him. I never really met him. I passed him by a couple of times over the years. In similar situations, but we never talked, as a matter of fact. We got along great, and then I invited him on the show when he said he might be running, and I said, I think my audience would like to hear that. And then we talked more, and it turned out that we have so much in common in terms of our economic beliefs. I didn't even know he was a conservative. I'll tell you, I never knew he was that much of a right-wing conservative guy, and I think he is. I can't speak for him. The guy is gung-ho military. The guy is gung-ho nationalist patriot. And I'll tell you who his biggest critics are going to be. The biggest critics of Donald Trump are going to be the same left-wing bellyachers who hate this country. They're going to go after him. And I personally think he could win because he's not a party animal. He's certainly not a Republican apparatchik. He's certainly not a Romney. He's not a Rockefeller-type Republican in that regard. That's why I had him on. And I'll tell you something else. I think that that's why you want to talk about it, because you need something positive right now. He gives us all a little bit of hope. He gives us hope that a businessman could come along who is patriotic, who is a nationalist, who is successful, who could run the country like a business, not an empire. My phrase, right? Florida. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to speak to you. I have a small business, and the last couple of years have been tough, but Donald Trump would be the best candidate because his mind isn't pleasing people. It's making it work, and that's what we lack with this country right now. Somebody up there going to make it work.
Make it work. Right, and the willingness to just speak out boldly and brashly without thinking about every audience in the world. He thinks about what needs to be done, and he does it, period, end of story. And not everyone likes him, by the way. He has a lot of people who don't like him like I do, okay? I'm used to it. When you're outspoken, you're going to make a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. I know how it works, Robert. It's very easy to go to focus groups and put your finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and every statement you make, you can go crazy if you live that way. Am I right?
But it's not going to help the situation.
No. Not only not help the situation, you're going to ruin the country. Take a look at what's happening to this country under Obama, the focus group candidate. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. This is not the only topic. You can talk about the shootings. You can see what the vermin on the left is saying. For example, there's a guy named Joe Klein, a well-known radical left-wing, certifiable anti-American rat, in my opinion, on CNN. Listen to what he says in clip one. You're not going to believe it.
I do believe that the temperature out there among a certain segment of the population who sees things like illegal immigration, like a president who is a mixed race president, whose middle name is Hussein, there are a lot of people who have been encouraged in their extremism by stuff you see on TV.
And on
radio. Can't forget Rush Limbaugh.
Well, we can't forget Joe Klein, the lifetime of hate and the lifetime of lies that have come out of Time magazine. You talk about hate. You talk about anti-Americanism. You talk about the rhetoric of hate and the poison. You don't have to go any further than Time magazine and Joe Klein, in my opinion. So you want to start pointing fingers, little Joe. You better go look in the mirror before you do, because you're going to find out that you have probably done more to damage the body politic in this country than anybody else in the media. Don't blame the conservatives, my friend. Blame the communists who took over America.
Savage.
know China. I know many of the people in China. I know many of the big business people, and they're laughing at us. They think we're so stupid, and our representatives are so stupid that they can't even believe what they're getting away with. They take our money. They suck it out of us. We charge them virtually no tax and no tax, and then they loan it back to us.
Yeah, well, he's right about that. All right, michaelsavage.com. I have other stories, news from the country around the world. And Hillary compares Tucson gunmen to ideologically driven terrorists. The journalists urged caution after the Fort Hood massacre, now race to blame Palin and conservative talk radio after the shootings. If you remember, on November 5, 09, when Major Nidal Hassan opened fire at a troop readiness center in Fort Hood, Texas, killing 13 people, do you remember what the left-wing media said at the time? They said, hush, hush, my darling. Don't rush the judgment, my darling. Don't say he's a Muslim. Don't rush the judgment. He may not have been the shooter. Oh, there were pictures of him on surveillance video wearing a white outfit in the morning getting donuts and coffee at 7-Eleven. There were stories that he said Allah Akbar before he killed everyone and shot the others. But we weren't supposed to even notice that because people at CNN and ABC and CBS were afraid they might offend certain individuals. The fact of the matter is they urged caution after the Fort Hood massacre by Major Nidal Hassan, but they're not urging any such caution after this lunatic killed these people over the weekend. And yet there are some, how shall I say it, beautiful, positive people seen in the midst of all of this mess. The father of the 9-year-old girl who was killed, you would think he'd be the angriest. You would think that the father of the 9-year-old girl who was killed, a little angel killed, you think he would be saying, we need restrictions on guns, we need restrictions on talk radio. He didn't say that. Listen to clip 14.
I know she wouldn't want things to change, would not want restrictions. I saw what happened to our lives, specifically because I travel quite a bit. After 9-11, travel became a nightmare. We don't need any more restrictions on our society. I just think we got to friends and family that we have surrounded ourselves with in this tragedy. If maybe that fellow who was shooting everybody.
Slain girl's father says the shooting should not bring around further restrictions on our lives, period. He does not want any changes in this country. And that's the man who we should listen to. 1-800-449-8255. Wind farms in the UK don't work in the cold. That just came out. They have a blizzard over there in England. As temperatures plunged below zero and demand for electricity soared, figures in England reveal that most of the country's 3,000 wind turbines were virtually still. They froze. They didn't work. I guess the green technology that Nancy Pelosi loves so much works very well at the University of California in a laboratory. What else should we talk about? Ex-congressional aide found dead in burning car. You're not interested in that? That's the second governmental official found dead, the first in a trash dumpster, and now someone found dead in a burning car. No investigation, so far as we know, from the FBI. Judge sentences Tom DeLay to 3 years in prison. Facebook fraud uses dead hero's picture to seduce women online. Well, there's lots of other stories. Intercontinental killer in New York City confesses to castrating a dead journalist. You hear that story? A nightmare. A male model has confessed to brutally torturing his journalist's sugar daddy in a Midtown hotel for more than an hour. I won't even tell you the details. I read it. I couldn't believe what he did to this guy with a corkscrew. He castrated. Let's leave it at that. Let's go to the callers. Let's take Harrison in New York on WOR. Go ahead, Harrison.
Dr. Savage, a pleasure. I just want to say that nobody brings up the amount of restraint that those people show down there. That's a carry state. They don't need a permit. Nobody shot that guy. They tackled him. People showed a lot of restraint, I think, that day, and nobody brings that up. They just want to point fingers.
You're saying that although there were probably people in that Safeway who could have shot him, they didn't?
I can guarantee you there was people there that were carrying weapons because that's a non-permit state, and nobody shot that guy. They tackled him. Nobody points out.
Well, they were probably afraid of opening up because they could have killed somebody else by accident.
Exactly, and you know, they show the restraint, but nobody points that out. Nobody took, you know, gunslinging and shot fires, you know, other than that kid, and that's it. They tackled him.
Yeah.
I'm sure plenty of people could have shot that kid, but nobody shot him. and they don't point that out, that the citizens there are good people and they showed restraint.
All right, that's one way to look at it. I didn't see that side of it, Harrison, but it's a very valid point, I think, and it's something to look at. Let's go to Albany, New York. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. I was most impressed with your interview with Donald Trump. I found a new respect for him as well as a new respect for you in having him on. I know you're not guest-oriented there, but
right.
I thought he made some very valid points, and I didn't realize that he was so knowledgeable on the international scene.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, but you consider he has, I guess, big projects going on in Asia, so I guess he's dealt with our little friends over there, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do. I think his approach is, for one, it's very refreshing. Secondly,
plain English. Look, we're in trouble. America's dying. Our factories are closed up. It's like we're going out of business. Who can save us but a businessman who's made a success of his life?
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at the field of candidates. Obama, no known job before he became president. He was basically a street activist. Never developed a product or a service that anybody ever needed. Doesn't know the first thing about providing a service or a product for anybody. What does he know about an economy? Nothing. Take a look at the career politicians waiting in line to become president. Have any of them ever created a business? I don't know of one, or a service that anybody really bought. No. I mean, we're talking about basics here. So you got to go to someone who knows how to run a business, create a product, and sell it. He knows what it is to be legislated to death and to face bureaucrats who don't know the first thing about business either. So I think a businessman could save the country, frankly.
Yes, I do too. I agree. And like you said, those politicians have never had a real job. They don't know how to run a business.
No. No, they don't know how to run a business because they've been career politicians. You know, it's a funny thing. There was a British gentleman at the lunch I was at yesterday who was a very high official in the Thatcher administration, very conservative gentleman. And he said, you know, there was a time in political history in England where only rich men ran the country because we knew that they were rich enough not to rob the treasury. And he said they basically knew how to run a country. And he said it was only with the advent of the career politician that Britain became a socialist nightmare, because these people don't know the first thing about business nor how to run a country. And that's exactly what we're facing here. We have lifetime bureaucrats who've never run a business, who are making decisions that cripple businesses, that don't help businesses.
Correct.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate that very much. The phone number is, you know what? The website is michaelsavage.com, and I'm going to open it up again to this topic or any other topics that you'd like to talk about right here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Las Vegas. Michael, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I heard your interview with Donald Trump, and it was very refreshing. I agree 100% of what he said. Do you know of any outlet where we can get bumper stickers for Trump for president?
You know, actually, I think they gave us a website that I forgot to plug because I don't usually have guests. It was called shouldtrumprun.com.
Very good.
Shouldtrumprun.com. And if you went to school in America prior to this generation, you know how to spell should. But if you're under the age of 40, I'm going to have to spell should. It's not S-H-U-D. It's S-H-O-U. S-H-O-U-L-D, TrumpRun.com, ShouldTrumpRun.com. I think you can go there and see what's on there. I haven't looked at it yet. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, ShouldSavageTakeCalls.com. Michael, thank you for calling. Rich in New York on WOR, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, if you want to just compare for a second, what we have in the White House, so what of the states, someone who probably never wrote out a tuition check to Donald Trump, who, people forget, did fail before, but he did the American thing. He dusted himself off, and he jumped back in the ring again.
Mm-hmm.
To this man.
All right. Like, you know that we don't have the records, Obama's college records. They have never been released, Occidental College. We don't know what he actually did at Columbia. We have no records of him having gone there. We don't know what he wrote.
I don't want to see the birth certificate. I'd like to see a tuition check to see.
Yeah, let's forget the birth certificate for a minute. Let's see the transcripts of his college years at Columbia. Let's start with that. And let us see why he was made the law review head. What did he do that made him the head of the Harvard Law Review? Do you think it was because of his brilliance? I don't know why. How could they pick this guy to be the editor of the Harvard Law Review? What did he do that qualified him for that job?
I have no idea. And why I have you on the phone, a good family friend of ours just went, graduated from college, and she's in China teaching English. And the motto in China is help China advance, teach and learn English. We don't even speak English on Main Street anymore.
Oh, help China advance, learn English, I see. But the illegals who come over here, they don't teach them English. They teach English as a second language, which is not even English itself.
When I was a kid, all the science fiction shows, whatever planet they landed on, they spoke English. We don't even speak it now in the country.
Well, I grew up in the same era, and I remember when the dollar was king. I don't know how it became a pauper. How did the dollar go from being a king to a pauper? I remember being a little kid. My mother was Canadian by birth, and every time we'd go across the border in a car, I'll never forget it as long as I live, I was a little boy, we'd go across the border and we brought American dollars to spend. And my father, we were poor, but okay, we did okay, small businessman. He always used to say how proud he was to spend the U.S. dollar in Canada at the time, and it made me feel, I don't know, what does a kid know? He said, oh, they love the U.S. dollar here. I didn't even know what he meant. That's because the U.S. dollar was worth more than the Canadian dollar. So if you bought something in Canada at that time, that was, let's say, $2, and you paid for it in U.S. dollars, the guy loved taking the two U.S. dollars because he made money because the currency was worth so much more. So I felt proud to be an American, and when I looked at the money I saved from working as a soda jerk, I felt like I was really earning something that had value. And today, frankly, it's hard to know if tomorrow the dollar will have much value at all. That's what frightens all of us.
Well, the only thing that's made in Walmart in the United States now is the money in the cash register.
Well, we have to get this country back in the hands of business people, not in the hands of career bureaucrats who, as I said earlier, never created a business, a product, or a service that anybody needs. Can you name one person in the upper reaches of government who you can name what business they ran before they went to work for Obama? Name one.
I cannot do that.
No, let's go down the list. Let's go down the list. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. Has he ever held a job in his life outside of a government job? I don't know of one. How could a man like Timothy Geithner be in charge of the U.S. Treasury when he's never created a business or a service or a product that anybody ever needed? How is that possible?
Well, he must have worked in a printing press before. Maybe he did that.
Oh, yeah, you see, you got me there. It could be that he grew up in a print shop. You're right. You got me there. Maybe his father owned a little Kinko's or something. All right, I'll be right back. Be here.
Savage.
So the shooter, it turns out, was basically a lunatic, apolitical, in reality apolitical, unstable at any speed, heavy pot smoker, had a devil worship altar in his backyard with a human skull replica in Jared Lee Loeffner's home. Take a look at the pictures. We found them from the Daily News. They're up on Michael Savage. Hidden within a camouflage tent behind Loeffner's home sits an alarming altar with a skull sitting atop a pot filled with shriveled oranges. A row of ceremonial candles and a bag of potting soil lay nearby. Now, as you well know, these elements are featured in the ceremonies of a number of occult groups. And so, therefore, we should be focusing on the occult, not on conservative talk radio, as to the potential animus that drove the lunatic. The discovery of the shrine is a very big hint at what kind of laws we need in this country. And they certainly do not include clamping down on guns or bullets or gun ownership. The guy was crazy. And marijuana could be blamed for that matter. I don't know if you know it, but marijuana and its medical, so-called medical applications were, it was first loosened in Arizona before it was loosened in California with money from the George Soros group. I fought this for years, because I said many times that marijuana is in some ways the most dangerous drug, in that there are many unstable people who become overtly psychotic from the new strains of marijuana that are being sold and used in this country. You know, the marijuana today is not the marijuana that your mother smoked, for example. Many of your leftists don't know it. It's sometimes 17 times stronger. And many people go into overt psychosis when they smoke marijuana. So that's an issue. Maybe we ought to talk about suspending medical marijuana laws or stop with the legalization talk and start thinking about the devastating effects. We also don't know what antipsychotic medication he may have been on. We don't know what his medical records are. Was he on Prozac-like compounds? Was he given Ritalin as a kid? We don't know any of this. So before you start pointing fingers, you need an investigation of his medical history, and we're never going to learn about that. The people in school were afraid of him. People were afraid of him. On June 14th, a classmate who was in McGee's algebra class with him wrote an email reported in the Washington Post as follows. She wrote, "We have a mentally unstable person in the class that scares the living crap out of me." I can't use that word. "He is one of those whose picture you might see on the news after he has gone into class with an automatic weapon. Everyone interviewed would say, yeah, he was in my math class and he was really weird." She said, "I sit by the door with my purse handy." Now, she was a 52-year-old adult who went back to school, so she would obviously see things that perhaps some of the other kids wouldn't have seen. Another little fact, Loftner worked as a volunteer at the Pima Animals Care Center, where he walked dogs and cleaned cages. "He loved animals and he was a good worker," said another volunteer. There's nothing you can say about that with any regard to what he did, because many good people work with animals and many bad people work with animals. What does it have to do with anything? I don't really know. We know Loftner tried to join the military but was deemed unsuitable. Now, I guess you could, if you're a leftist for the news media, blame the military. Because if the military had only shown compassion for this mentally unstable pothead devil worshiper and taken him into the military and given him the therapy that he needed, why then perhaps this tragedy wouldn't have occurred. At least that's how the liberal byline would go. You see, the military shouldn't be for killing the enemy and defending America. It should be for social engineering and for rehabilitating lunatics. See, that's the purpose of the military. It's not fundamentally a military anymore, at least in the minds of the people working for Obama. It's a giant social experiment. It's sort of like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that's what the military should become, according to the leftists right now. Sort of a grotesque Mr. Rogers Neighborhood where no bullets are actually fired and the guns are actually turned into flowers. Then all of these lunatics could have a safe place to go where they wouldn't feel uncomfortable. Let's go to the callers. Arthur in New York on WOR. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, great to talk to you. Years ago I read the Trump book, and he talked about how his office was overlooking Central Park South, and he could see Walman Rink, and was under the care of the city, and it was in disarray, wasn't up and running, and he finally got so fed up with it that he took the job upon himself. He called Koch, the mayor at the time, Ed Koch, and he got the place up and running in about 8 months. I think it's a great example of how practical application about how he would get this country running.
So you're a fan of Donald Trump for president?
I don't think he's going to run, but I think he's a good businessman and makes things run.
That's interesting. You don't think he's going to run. What do you think he's playing with it for, then?
I just think he's frustrated. I don't think he's going to run, though.
Huh.
I don't think he's truly, he's not a politician. He'd get fed up with the process. There's two, you know, the
power. Well, I asked him, frankly. I said, "Would you really want to win?" I asked him that yesterday after lunch. I said, "It's going to be a different kind of lifestyle than what you have here with golf and tennis and wonderful dinners and great people and building things and making things. How are you going to live inside that cocoon?" He didn't answer me because he doesn't have to. You know what I'm saying? That's for him to decide, not me.
I think the minutia of the politics would just drive him crazy.
Well, maybe that's what we need, is someone to say, "You know what? You're not going to drive me crazy. You're going to fix this. You're going to rein in China. We're not going to sign treaties that Russia has to approve. And we're not going to let the Chinese play with the yuan anymore." I know it's known as the yuan, but that's too suave.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Mm-hmm. today is a very, very big day, not only because of the horrible execution style, the madman in Arizona. The insane murderer took the lives of half a dozen people, including wounding an Arizona congresswoman, killing a federal judge, slaughtering an innocent 9-year-old girl. They were all innocent. And injuring a dozen others. Now, immediately, the maniacs in the left-wing media showed their biases. New York Times came out and called him a white male with short hair. Now, he is a white male with short hair, but they have a policy of not identifying ethnicity, by the way, in most cases, unless they're white males. CNN, they located a local Tucson radical lib within minutes of the shooting to blame the state's rabid right for the shooting. Not the illegal aliens, of course, just the rabid right. One talking head after another cast blame on Sarah Palin and the Tea Party because she had opposed Gifford's re-election campaign last year, and they used the crosshair symbol over Gifford's district in an online map. Now, none of them mention that a left-wing website did exactly the same thing, and although they found time to blame the Tea Parties, none of these media liars brought up the religion of the Fort Hood shooter, Major Hassan. In fact, after Major Hassan, the Muslim, went crazy and shot 12 or 13 and wounded 30 others, immediately the left-wing media said, don't mention Muslim, don't mention Islam, and don't rush to judgment. Really. But what about the shooter in Arizona? He was described by a classmate, not as a right-winger, but as a left-wing pothead. Favorite books? The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx and Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. This nut also believed the U.S. government was behind 9/11. This is a smear campaign not worthy of the lowest political operative, and yet it's in overdrive right now. What's even more disturbing to me, very, very deeply disturbing, is that we have not heard one word about the mysterious death of John Wheeler, the cybersecurity expert, since his execution or apparent execution. Remember, he was found in a dumpster 10 days ago. After this shooting in Arizona, it's been wiped off the map. Now, do you believe it's just as important to have a complete investigation of the Wheeler case as it is to have a complete investigation of the Arizona shooting? Frankly, you don't need an investigation of the Arizona shooting. The guy who did it is basically the guy who did it. They're trying to now turn it into a conspiracy, while the people or people who killed John Wheeler are still unknown. We're also talking about who's going to run for the presidency in 2012 to save us from not only Obama, but from China. And on the show tonight is Donald Trump. Frankly, I think we need a tough-minded businessman to run the United States of America. Remember, in trickle-up poverty, I say run America like a business, not an empire. And I think I found the right man for the job. Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. All right, let's move on. I love the 50s when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Let's play some rock and roll. That's all. We had a president that we knew we could trust. We weren't, wondering which side he was on. General Dwight D. Eisenhower. We knew which side he was on. That's all. This one, you don't know which side he's on. How did we elect this guy? No background. Zero. I guess Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod decided to make him the president with money from George Soros and others? And look what we have now.
Love is a losing game, and love can be a shame. I know of a fool you see. Talk that fool in me, tell me why.
All right, whatever. I went up at I went to Best Buy and looked at cameras today for the best single shot camera around. I'm looking at a Canon. Then I stopped at the Ferrari dealer, I like going into service bays for Ferrari. Said hello to the guys, and I said, "Can I see the Ferrari California?" It's a nice car, really is. 20-inch wheels. It could actually go up driveways without bottoming out. Surprisingly doing well, the Ferrari business. You wouldn't understand this. I mean, there's unemployment, but I don't know who's buying them. See, this is the problem that you liberals don't understand. You'll never understand. Leftists don't understand this. They think that because the Democrats took office and they started to feed it the trough, that the money would trickle down to the people. I predicted last year that the very same luxury items sell again, and I was right. Big beach homes are selling in the $20 million range in Florida again. Ferraris are selling again. Private jets are selling again. So in other words, it doesn't matter which party's in power. Some are going to feed at the troughs, and some are going to buy the very same items again. It doesn't really matter, and that's the good news. That is the good news. And I'm all for it. I like a certain amount of greed and corruption. I think it's very healthy for society. What I don't like is incompetence when it comes to national security. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Waterford crystal gavel that his family gave him when he became speaker, which the family has now given to me, and I'm very honored to have. Being Waterford crystal, you can't use that gavel more than once, so we just enshrine it there. What I'm crazy about are the pictures of my grandchildren, because that's about the future.
And they call you Mimi.
Mimi. Mm-hmm.
And when the events of yesterday were unfolding.
They were here, four of them were here.
I was watching some of the pictures. You had someone lap out in the chamber.
Oh, my gosh, my sweetheart. I do introspection, but I don't do public introspection.
I'm very
brutally harsh in any criticism. I'm an Italian Catholic.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
I had a very good pizza last night, to tell you the truth. I don't eat it because I'm on a dairy-free diet, because I found it absolutely stopped the arthritic-like relations I was having in my hands and feet years ago. I was very lucky so far, but a couple of years ago I started to get really bad pains in my arches and my hands. They would like crink at night. I knocked out all dairy. Look, I wrote books on nutrition for how many years? 20 years? I have a legitimate PhD from the University of California in nutrition, as opposed to the fake crackpot degrees that they're handing out now, like Giuliani Smiles. So the fact is, I really practiced what I preached. I dumped dairy and the pains went away. But I can reintroduce the pain in my hands and feet if I eat cheese or I consume any other dairy products. It's gout-related, incidentally. A lot of what is called arthritis is actually a mild form of gout. But strangely enough, I had what they call a Greek pizza last night with feta cheese, and I didn't get it. I knew the feta cheese doesn't do it to me. So it's not the dairy per se. It's some of the elements of cow's milk that I'm somewhat reactive to. So I had a wonderful pizza. I wouldn't eat it every night, but I didn't want a complicated meal. I had a goat cheese pizza with black olives, called a Greek pizza. You ever want a pizza? And I know a lot of people are going to want it tonight because of the power of suggestion. So I suggest that you call 1-800-MIKE'S-PIZZA right now, and we're going to send you out a hot pizza immediately anywhere in America by Federal Express, arrive in a 1 hour. No, but I know how these things work. It was delicious. Oh, I drank two beers with the Greek pizza. My God. Simple is good. You know, at a certain point, you can't take the complexity. I don't go to this Chinese restaurant near my house anymore. Oh, she gave us a stiff with duck a few weeks ago. After 20 years, she gave us the duck's behind with all fat in it. What do they think, I'm stupid? Looks in their face, smiles at me, gives me duck, all fat from the duck's behind. And a smile. So I paid the bill, didn't say a word. I'll never go back there in Sausalito. Near in that place where the thing goes down with the wok. I won't go there ever again. Forget it. Finito. Over. So I'm afraid to eat Asian food altogether now because I don't know the origin of the fish or the shrimp. I'm on a strike now against a lot of ethnic cuisines, not just Chinese food. Yeah, make a federal case out of it. Maybe the FBI will investigate me for saying I don't eat Chinese food. That could be coming next, Doug. You know what I'm saying? The UFC guy says he wants to fight Obama already. Two Secret Service agents visit him. But a top national security analyst is found in a garbage bin, but there's no FBI involvement. You hear? But anyway, so I don't eat Asian food right now because where do you think the fish come from? I ask another Chinese restaurant guy who I know. I like him. He's a nice guy. Finally, he's a nice guy, leveled with me. I said, where does your fish come from? He said, Vietnam. Bingo. Next. Where are your shrimp from? China. Boom. End the story. No more shrimp and lobster sauce. No more fish and Chinese greens. Yeah, I need fish from Vietnam. Just what the doctor ordered in this day and age. I had fish a few weeks ago in a nice restaurant. Tasted like diesel fuel. I heard one other woman mention that to me. fish now smells like gasoline. So he said, how does this happen? Oh, it's fresh, just off the boat. Really, just off the boat? Maybe it fell into the, maybe gasoline went into the freezer? Maybe that a leakage into the freezer? You see, food from far distant places today is at an all-time high because of international trade, and you're really taking your life in your own hands. I feel like I'm becoming, you know, like my mother and father. They didn't eat out much. They didn't trust. They didn't. There's another generation. Today, how many people eat at home anymore? Very few. Who has the time, the inclination to buy the ingredients and shop and cook? Very few. Don't call me, say you're doing it now, please. I'm not going to give you a brownie point or a gold star. Very few people do. Maybe with the economy, it'll be a move back towards home-cooked meals. I hope so. I really do. You ever see what children are fed today? You wonder why they have ADD, DHD, HL, MFT, LSMFT, DDT. Why do you think they have so much DDT in their system? You ever see what children are eating? They give them Pop-Tarts for breakfast and a Ritalin pill. Then they wonder why Johnny can't read. It's a lucky thing that Johnny can put his pants on. Imagine? No, I'm very lucky. I grew up in another time. I grew up in the golden age of America. Look what's, I mean, what's going on today at every level is amazing. But all right, what's the point of complaining about? I'm going to change anything? No. Are you going to change anything? Well, you did. 70 Democrat bums got thrown out on their behinds, and a lot of good it did us, right? Here came the pink shirts, John Boehner and the other one. The pink shirts and the gobbler took over the country, and all of a sudden it's business as usual, and now they're dipping their beaks into the public till. Now the Dems have been pushed aside for a little bit, not totally. And now the Republican K Street gang is back, dipping the beaks again into the public treasury. They won't even cut the spending. Who told you this was going to happen? I did. I did. And what, am I a genius? Some say yes, but it doesn't take a genius to see what I saw. You knew what was going to happen. I knew it from the time I was 5, 4, 6 years old. Dad would walk me down the streets in the Bronx. He'd hold my hand. He was an immigrant, but smart, not educated, but he saw things for what they were. You know, one thing you got to know about immigrants, whether they're educated or not, they actually are amongst the smartest people in their countries. Who they're poor and smart. They had the brains to have the wherewithal to get out of their country. I don't think you understand that. I don't care if it's a humble Mexican construction worker. The guy is probably pretty smart. Just because he doesn't speak English doesn't mean he's stupid. And don't confuse the fact that he's an illegal alien with him being a bad person. He is here because there's work that most Americans won't do, and because we have a government that says, come on in, okay? It doesn't make them the bad guy. It makes the government who's letting them come in the bad guy, not the illegal immigrant, by and large. Which is not to say that the jails aren't flooded with those who really are bad. One-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. And they didn't come here to work, by the way. They came here to do all of the bad things that got them into prison. So we've heard all of this before. All I'm saying to you is just because the guy's an immigrant and doesn't speak English very well doesn't mean that he's stupid. He may sound stupid to you, but he probably knows more English than you know of Spanish. I learned that as a kid, too. My father slapped me in the face with that one once. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was in his little store in New York. Again, not a long story, but I forget. Some guy came in. I think he was speaking English. He was trying to speak English, but it was broken English. So my father was very patient with him, and he had a conversation. When he left, I ridiculed the guy. I try to make, because kids are, you know, are insecure, and I mocked him a little bit. And my father said, don't ever do that to a person who doesn't speak English very well. He said, he probably speaks more English than you do his language. It was like a pail of cold water went into my face. So what I'm saying is, you know, you can learn certain things in certain ways. You don't have to get everything out of a book either. You can get things working as a lumberjack in Northern California. They may know more than you may believe. Guys who look like they're made like bears in Northern California, lumberjacks. You never meet those people. A lot of Americans you never see, you never meet, because they're not shown in the media. You know, they're out there. They're smart. They may not have an education. Some do, some don't. They have native intelligence that would put our politicians to shame. The difference is that they have characters that are solid. They don't want anything to do with politics. So they'd rather be a lumberman than a politician, for example. But that goes for virtually all the trades. What do you think, every guy who uses a saw or a hammer is a dummy? I got another guest coming for you. There happen to be many of them, very intelligent men. They just don't like game playing. They don't like charade. They don't like dishonesty. That's why they're not on Wall Street. Let's move on. I've made my little points. We can move on to who's going to run for the presidency on the Republican side. In 2012, you want to start wasting your time with that one. All I do is I pray that they don't run a couple of people. I pray they don't run Sarah Palin. I pray. I'm sure she's a fine woman. I like her politics. She's unelectable. Period. End of story. I think Donald Trump would garner far more votes than Sarah Palin. I said so. Trump has a businessman's past. Some people don't like him. Some people have things to say about him that are negative. But so what? They have things to say about me that are lies and negative. Anyone who's a public figure has people who resent them and are jealous of them. I actually believe that Trump could easily beat Obama. I mean, he's made some statements that are really good. And I think that the negatives that he has, could be overcome. And I think that Sarah Palin is the surest road to perdition for the Republican Party and for America. Not because she's a bad woman, but because she can't win. She can't win for many reasons. God forbid that they run her, and God forbid they run some other individual from Massachusetts whose health care plan is identical to that of Obama in all the negative ways, because he can't win either. He's had virtually no involvement with any of the major issues of our day. None. Won't say one word, all just laying, you know, in the background waiting to make a move. That's not leadership. Not at all.
Savage.
One 800 449 8255. Did you see that I was named one of the most influential conservatives in the world, in America? You didn't see that. Didn't make it to your local paper. I guess it wasn't put out on the AP wires, huh? Because it was good news? Oh, no, no. The fair-minded journalists at the Associated Press don't note such things. Whatever comes from the Obama White House is what they publish. Or whatever Al Gore wants to say about global warming. They're waiting for the next incident of sun. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. What month is this? I feel it's January. It's too early for me to feel tired already. I was doing well yesterday. It's an up-and-down thing. By the way, the Washington Times did an interesting article on this issue of Michael Savage. They put it another way. I have to read it to you. Just one line. It says, there are conservatives, then there are influential conservatives, says Jennifer Harper. Talk radio host Michael Savage has been deemed a more influential conservative than Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter, and Bill O'Reilly by the Daily Telegraph, which placed Savage at number 47 on the list of the world's top conservatives. The British paper ranked Ms. Coulter at 74, Mr. Dobbs at 79, and Mr. O'Reilly at 85, etc. Here's what I wanted to read you. She asked me for a comment, and here's what I wrote. It's one line. Quote, I hope the notice of my relative importance to the conservative movement is based on my 25 books, not some out-of-context statements concocted by the far left. Liberalism is a mental disorder was a medical diagnosis, not solely a conservative book, Mr. Savage tells Inside the Beltway, referring to one of his many bestsellers. I think that's clever. What can I do? What can I do? It was a medical diagnosis. Liberalism is a mental disorder is a medical diagnosis. It should go into the diagnostic manual for all doctors. Anyone who professes liberalism should be given a very, very deep therapy and a straitjacket. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any other topic you want to talk about? All right, here we go. Here we go. Here come the stories. Islamic outlaws threaten Brit terror revenge. Islamic extremists warned last night that banning their group could lead to terror attacks in Britain. Members of the Islam 4 UK said there would be 7-7 style outrages if stopped preventing their frustrations. Exiled hate preacher Omar Bakri Muhammad warned, we saw what happened in London with 7-7 after blah, 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 blah. And Islam 4 UK spokesman Anjem Choudhary, who pledged to get around the ban, called the move the biggest favor from the British government. He predicted, you will push people on the ground. That sounds like the left is always warned about that. Why am I having a good time? Why shouldn't I have a good time? Am I allowed to have a good time when the world is going to you nowhere in a handbasket? I think I am. Is there a law against it? Should I suffer for your sins? Meet Mickey Hicks, age 8. He's on a terror watch list. He's an 8-year-old Cub Scout. He's an American. He's blonde and blue-eyed, but he's on a terror watch list. His mother says a terrorist can blow up his underwear and they won't catch him. But my 8-year-old can't walk through security without being frisked. There's Obama's administration at work. 1-800-449-8255. Illegals who beat Marines escaped felony charges. Chain-wielding men faced deportation following a riot involving dozens of bar patrons. Oh, don't even get me started with illegal aliens with tattoos. Please don't get me started with this. Please, they don't all come here to work. Please, 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 please. Okay, 1-800-449-8255. I went out on the boat. Can I tell you, I never go out during the week. I'm a weekend boater, but I haven't been on my boat now. The weather's been horrible. So there was a glimmer of sunshine where I live. The boat's down at the water a few miles away. I go down in the boat. It's absolutely London fog, pea soup. There wasn't 100 yards of visibility. It was so thick that I almost decided to can the trip. But there was too much already involved with this and that and starting her up. And I go out in the fog. It was almost, as I say, no visibility. I'm talking not even 100 yards. But we get out of the harbor, and I decide, I go about a mile, and I got to tell you, you want to talk about the hand of God? When you see the fog lifting off, and you see the sun come out, and you see the hills open up, and you see, well, you see what I'm saying. That, to me, is, that's how I get in touch with nature and God. You know, God is nature, is DNA. It's been said 100 different ways. I mean, how do you do it? How do you touch God? Some do it through a house of worship. God bless you. Some do it through ritual. God bless you. Some do it through nature. That includes all living things. And God bless you if you do it that way. The object in all religion, as far as I'm concerned, is to do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's a very simple rule, and yet it's very hard to follow. Or do not do unto others, you would not have them do unto you. I mean, whichever way you want to put it, negative, positive. All religions boil down to the same thing, except for one religion, which we won't name. Eureka, California. Kim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I've learned a lot from you. I'm a first-time caller. I credit you for teaching me one thing, a lot of things, but one thing is I give now to charities that I really believe in, and you
taught
me that.
That's right. You know, that's the important thing is I found a few that I trust that I give money to, and believe me, in most of my life I didn't have an extra penny to give anybody. But if I have an extra few bucks, I give it to these groups that I list on my website and some I don't even list.
Well, like you, I live with a large dose of common sense, and I give to what I believe in.
That's right. And always look into the one thing to look in when you're giving money. I'll tell you about it. Charities. When you look at a nonprofit, find out what percent of the money goes to programs and what percent of the money goes to overhead. And if it's not 90% going to programs, don't give them a dime.
Yeah, how do you research
well,
that?
Well, if they're a nonprofit, if it's a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, then they have to file tax returns, which you can access. Before you give them a penny, ask them to see their tax returns. And if they don't give them to you, then don't give them any money. And ask them how the money is spent. What percent goes? Let's say I'm giving to a group that says we're going to save elephants. So I ask him, well, what percent of $100,000 or $100 goes to save the elephants, and what percent goes for administration costs? You know what I'm saying?
Once again, I'm learning a little more from you.
Right. That's the most important thing about nonprofits. That's what you got to ask him. Sacramento, Gregory, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just wanted to say a little bit, like the other caller said, I've been listening to you for quite a while now, back in, I guess, 96 or 97, right after my father passed, and it was quite a blessing to find you. You've been...
That's nice. No, I substitute for the uncles and the fathers that are gone. I know that.
Well, you're kind of like my group guru with all the wisdom and a thing you just touched on today about seeing God in nature. And And I remember a thing you said the other day on the chimpanzees. It just knocked me to the... when you said how a man has to live by what dictates his soul. And it just...
Yes.
Almost
right.
Put me to tears.
Well, what do you mean when I was saying a medical research on chimpanzees?
Yeah, but you were just explaining yourself, and it just, you know, you were explaining your why you have the views that you do, kind of.
Oh, in other words, why I took that upon myself to make that an issue on ending lab testing on chimpanzees.
Okay, missed out on Jaws because you were it. You know, it hit you where it shouldn't have hit you.
Yeah, well, right. Everyone has their own little things in life that move them. So, what motivates you to call today, Gregory?
Well, just all the above, and just wanted to thank you for being your modern day Moses, Dr. Savage. And
well, I wouldn't put myself in that category for two reasons. One, I don't stutter. And B, I've not let anybody through the Reds. I haven't made the C part yet.
You're leading us through a storm right now, so.
Well, okay, I can see that. We are living through a storm, and Obama is sort of a pharaoh. He has a pharaonic figure. There's no question about it. If actually you look at him and how he looks, he's somewhat of a pharaonic figure, and he is sort of a mini pharaoh at this point.
Okay.
There is there's a great biblical parallel here. There's no question about it.
I can't believe I came up with that, but that was more of your interpretation of it. See, that's what makes you the good seer that you are, sir.
All right, I'm the good shepherd today, Gregory. Thank you for being such a loyal listener. It's listeners like you that make me get up in the morning. Three U.S. residents charged with smuggling nuke parts to Iran. Really? These are educated men. These individuals knew what they were doing, no kidding. You want to talk about the enemy within? This is who I'm talking about. And who was responsible for smuggling nuke parts to Iran? An Iranian-born chemical engineer living in Glendale, California. But don't worry, because Iran, Russia, and China have assured us that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapons program. What I want to know is this. If these are the people that our broken intelligence system has managed to find, how many have they not found? How many other operatives are there in America who are getting by as a result of a fear of racial commentary? I'll be right back.
Savage.
So now, to give you what many of you have been waiting for, I have to do the quick version. I don't want to dwell on it, but I promised it and I have to deliver. I got so mad in a restaurant last night. I went to an Indian restaurant. I got sick from it. Not that the food was bad. Everything was wrong. It didn't taste good. It was overpriced. They brought the wrong dish. I was up all night itching from the spices. I mean, I'm sick of it. Everywhere I go now in a restaurant, something goes wrong. Maybe they're using, like, inferior, stuff and doctoring it. I don't know. So I'm going to do my own. So I make paella, which is a Spanish rice dish. And it's done 1,000 different ways. What is paella? It's a rice dish cooked with whatever they happen to have after going fishing or on the farm. They threw it into the equivalent of a Spanish wok. And they cooked it together, and that was the end of it. So everyone has their own recipe. My recipe is quite simple. Now, usually you're supposed to use shrimp and clams and mussels. I'm not using shrimp, nor clams, nor mussels tonight. Because lately I found most of the shrimp I'm eating is not up to par. I don't like clams and mussels lately. So I'm going to use, I bought the ingredients already today. I have some fresh calamari from Monterey, which I love. I got chicken legs. You know, the chicken, the healthy chick, the hippie chickens. I got the hippie chickens that are raised on good stuff before they're slaughtered. So I got hippie chicken legs, three hippie chicken legs, and I had them cut into three pieces. I'm only going to use two of them because the pot can't hold it. Now what you need to get is chicken stock, and I usually get the organic chicken stock, and I mix that with water. I never use full stock because it comes out too greasy for me. The rice, you want to use arborio rice. There's no question about it because it's a long grain rice, but arborio rice is important. The Italians use arborio rice. It's used throughout the Mediterranean. I'm giving you the background for the ingredients. So you got the chicken, then I got some nice fresh fish, a nice piece of cod, and I got a nice piece of fillet of sole. Out here we call it something else. You get a red pepper. When I say it, you know, bell pepper, slice it up. Seeded now. Make sure the seeds are out of it. Get a lot of garlic. Get your some peas and get some pimentos. The most important thing now is to get really good saffron. Without good saffron, you're not making a paella. And there's a lot of fake saffron out there. A lot of people are selling safflower threads, which is not saffron. They got a cheap imitation from Mexico. Saffron is very expensive. All right. Now, here's how you get started here. Cut the chicken, as I say. Make sure it's all cut up in front of you. And you got to get your spices ready to look. There's a lot more involved. I'm going to give you the broad strokes here. Take your chicken. Rub the chicken with oregano, peppercorns, garlic, salt, olive oil, vinegar, and mash it into the chicken. Make sure you rub it into the chicken good, because the chicken is the most difficult part of this to get flavored right. I happen to like tarragon as well. I love tarragon. Heat olive oil in a deep, heavy skillet. Deep, heavy skillet with sides. Now throw the chicken in and brown it lightly over moderate heat. You're browning it. You're not cooking it. Now you can add all of, not everything yet. You could put in the, I forgot to tell you, the sausages if you want. You want the chorizo, usually the salt pork, which I don't use. You want to put in some chopped onion as much as you want. You want to put in that green pepper or red pepper and whatever else you want to flavor it with. Now cook it over low heat with the chicken in there. Right? You got that going? While you're doing that, get the water boiling. Now, some people just boil water. I mix, if you're using about 2 cups of rice, you want about 3 3/4, a little less than double liquid. So you can mix it half and half, chicken stock and water. Get it boiling. Get it boiling in a pan, with a top on it. Throw in saffron into the boiling water. Here comes the fun part. So now you got the chicken, if you haven't lost me already, in the frying pan where you're browning it, 10 minutes over low heat. Now, take the rice, the 2 cups of rice, it's dry, and throw it into the frying pan with the chicken and the spices, dry now, and stir the rice around for about 5 minutes so the rice gets pre-cooked into that mixture of the chicken. It's going to look gunky. It's going to look awful. You're going to say, is he crazy? Why is it not boiling? I don't make rice this way. What you're doing is you're flavoring the rice, or the flavor of the chicken and the spice goes into the rice, each granule of rice. After 5 minutes, take your boiling stock or water with the saffron and throw it right into that pot and stir it all around so the moisture gets into everything. Stir it up, cook it rapidly with a cover on it. With a little steam, let the steam out a little bit, let the cover off a little bit on the side. You got to get the steam out for about 20 minutes. After about 20 minutes, the rice is going to be cooked. At that point, you want to check the rice on the bottom, make sure it's not burning. Most people look for that slightly caramelized rice on the bottom, and that's a good thing. It's very tasty, but you don't want to burn it. At that point, add some peas. You can cook it for 5 more minutes with some green peas. Then you could add, if you want, mussels and clams on the top until the shells open. Then you could put pimentos on the top. And then you've got basically the best arroz paella that I've ever eaten, because I make it myself. And that's a recipe, that's all. And I wanted to work that in. Emil in San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Mike, I'd love to see you in the House or the Senate. You got a solid plan. You know the issues, and you're owned by no one. So, and here's the big thing. You don't need the...
Those are all the reasons that I probably won't win. Emil, let me ask you. You live here in San Francisco. You're as alienated from the political structure as I am. I mean, we've never met, but we've talked on the phone a lot. You know, you have your Goombas up there on the hill. You play bocce. You drink your vino. You cook your calamari. Do you really think she's vulnerable, Boxer?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I took a page from your book. I ran for mayor of Brisbane, and I had a wonderful time. It was a great experience. And the newcomer is not necessarily the guy in the back row. People love to talk to people that they don't know, that have something to say, and that they don't fear.
Did you ran when? Did you win?
No, I lost in November to the incumbent, but it was a good run. It was a clean race. I got a good taste in my mouth, and that's why I'm encouraging you. I mean, you got it all going for you, but you're going to lose a lot of time. You know, money doesn't mean much to you and me, but our time is. But you really got something going for you, and there's a lot to. You're going to shake up the boat, that's for sure.
It would be shaken.
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
It would be beautiful, because they'd have to actually listen to what I have to say. They'd start with the smear campaign. I know they'd start with the George Soros Media Matters smear campaign. And I would say, bring it on, because I stand for borders, language, and culture. I don't care how many outtakes you have. Here's the intake. You want to hear the whole speech? Here it is. Secure the borders, English only at the voting place, and culture, culture, culture. And that is the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Bible. If you don't like it, too bad. That's what I stand for. Now, that's a winning campaign.
Absolutely. Go for it, Mike.
Now, here's the most important thing. What are you guys eating tonight?
It's going to be polenta. It's a light night, polenta.
A cold night like tonight, you're having polenta, not something heavy?
Polenta, red gravy, some pork, sausage, meatballs.
Oh, no, so you added that. So you added in the real food at the end.
Yeah, no dessert, though.
And what are you drinking homemade wine?
Vino Rosso from Gigi. He makes his own wine up there by you.
So why don't you ever invite me up there?
Hey, I don't know, Mike. You might not want to be... Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay, thanks for the call, Emil. What do you mean I might not want to? I don't like that answer. That's worrisome.
Savage.